Aviva Litton is a vice president and distinguished analyst in Gartner Research. Her area of expertise includes financial fraud, authentication, identity theft, fraud detection and prevention applications, and other areas of information security and risk. She also covers payment systems and financial flows in the business-to-consumer and business-to-business markets. Hello, I'm Warwick Ashford, chief reporter at Computer Weekly. I caught up with Aviva at the Gartner Identity and Access Management Summit 2008 in London and asked her how successful the introduction of chip and PIN security technology on bank cards has been in combating fraud.
As expected, chip and PIN has been very successful in the UK in reducing fraud rates, but that has only happened at the point of sale. Point of sale is when a consumer goes into the subway or to a store and swipes their card, puts their PIN in. In those scenarios, the crooks have not been able to create duplicate cards and counterfeit them and take away consumer accounts and money. Also at the ATM machine, it's been very successful. But what it's done is caused the fraud to migrate to other channels that are not protected by chip and PIN. So for example, cross-border fraud. A crook can get the details from the magnetic stripe on that card that's swiped at a UK machine and take that and create a magnetic stripe card that can be used in another country, say France or Germany. So the fraud has all moved, not all of it, but most of it, to cross-border point of sale or cross-border ATM fraud. And that has skyrocketed. Someone told me earlier today that went up $500 million US, or over 200 million British pounds, in just the last year. The other area where it's picking up is with card not present transactions. So e-commerce fraud has increased dramatically since the introduction of chip and PIN. The problem is if you're only using a fraud prevention measure in one channel, physical stores, and not on the phone channel, in other countries, in e-commerce, then the fraudsters will just go to those other channels. It's like a cockroach. You can't just kill one cockroach, the others will just come up in another part of your house. You've got to get all the cockroaches in all the rooms of your house.
What are the banks doing? What are the solutions they're looking at to try and combat this?
The best way to combat this is with good fraud detection, so you can see, oh, this user of ours is in London and in France at the same time. That doesn't make sense. But also to have strong cardholder authentication for those other transactions outside the chip and PIN channel. So for example, there's biometrics that you can use, or you can validate the mag stripe on the card because they each have unique fingerprints, or maybe you can make a call to the cell phone of the user. Right now, many of the UK banks are struggling with this. They're not prepared. So some of them are just stopping transactions and greatly inconveniencing consumers because the fraud rate's gone up so high. So they really need to act fast, and many of them are trying to, so that they don't stop a legitimate transaction.
And what can end users, consumers, do to protect themselves?
Consumers who are traveling should call their bank before they travel and say, I'm going to be in this city, in this country, on this day. And that way the bank is much less likely to stop their transaction. The other thing consumers can do with e-commerce is just be careful where you go shopping. Don't go shopping at brands that you don't know. Make sure your PC is kept up to date with anti-spyware, antivirus technologies. But a lot of this is beyond consumer control in terms of sometimes their data can be stolen and used in ways they can't even control. But they can control the physical world transactions in terms of telling their bank when they're traveling. And they can also try to control the security of their PC.
Faster payments is also something that's been recently introduced in the UK and elsewhere. Has this had any impact from a fraud point of view?
Faster payments hasn't gone completely live yet, and it definitely increases the chances for fraud. But it's not as bad as everyone originally was told and was thinking. When we were introduced to faster payments as users and consumers, we had this vision that the payment had to happen within a real-time environment. So the minute you effected the payment request, the transfer was executed and your money was out the door. The fact is banks have up to 2 hours to review those transactions. And so they will be able to stop most of the fraud. It's not a real-time situation, and real-time situations are much more difficult to deal with from a fraud detection viewpoint. So this isn't the catastrophe some of the vendors and some of the companies were telling us it will be. I think banks will definitely be able to step up to the occasion, but they will have to beef up their fraud analyst operations. They'll have to have people working 24/7, make sure those suspect transactions are followed up with in a timely manner. And also make sure as a consumer that your bank reimburses you if you do have unauthorized access. I think the UK is considering a rule now to make consumers liable for the security on their PC. And in my estimation, that's a big mistake. If your bank is saying that you're liable for the security on your PC, then if I were you, go look for another bank, because you can't possibly control all the bad things that can happen to your PC. And the bank has to learn how to protect all the money in your account.